Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan, as always. How are you today, Kyle?
Man, I feel like I say this every week now, but I'm like, oh, dude, I'm pissed off. I'm so done, man. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Same exact boat as you. Not happy with New York sports.
Oh my God, just two complete blowouts. Just not even fun to watch kind of contests. Like, oh my God.
Look, that you was had, at least you
ugly, had, ugly, ugly, ugly football, man. We've hit rock bottom.
Look, you had some sort of positivity.
No, not this week. Not this week.
Maybe not for the Giants, but at least you had the Yankees clinch a playoff.
They had a bad week, too. They had a bad – like, they're in the playoffs, but they had a bad week.
Playoffs. The Mets obviously did not make the playoffs in typical Mets fashion.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, so let's start with football first. So today was week three. Both Mets and Giants came in at 0-2 and left 0-3. Big surprise.
Shocker.
So let's start with the Giants first. The Giants were playing San Francisco's JV team after the Jets proceeded to injure all of their starters last week.
Yeah, you guys tried to help us out.
And lost even worse than the Jets did last week.
Oh, my. Yeah, dude. Holy ugly. Oh, my.
Dude,
I didn't even watch the second half, I'll be honest. Like, I didn't want to. That's a lie. I watched until – I think 23-9 was when I switched to baseball because there was a crazy day of baseball.
There was a crazy day in baseball.
But, dude, what an ugly loss. Again, just terrible. Yeah. I can't even think of, like, super big, like positives even right now. I'm sure there are some that, like, I'm just no, there's not. This is just year after year, like – it's like clockwork, man. The Giants stink again. And I was a little bit optimistic about them this year, and they stink. They lost 36-9 today.
But, I mean, if you want to come up with some positives, Daniel Jones had a very inconsistent game. But in the times where he wasn't fumbling the ball, he actually
– actually, one of those turnovers isn't on him.
That was Engram.
Like, one of them is on Engram because Evan Engram, oh, my gosh. He's been so bad this year thus far.
Oh. Yeah, he's not been fun to watch. I mean, I couldn't imagine because as a Jet fan, I'm looking at that and I'm like, bleh.
Dude, I thought that, like, at first I was like, oh, well, they're going to be like – I was saying that Evan Engram's like a top five, like, tight end in the league when he's healthy, and he's healthy and he stinks. It's weird.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean – It could be a lot worse. You could lose your starting running back for an ACL injury for the season.
Yeah, that happened last week.
Yeah. Hey, you didn't get any torn ACLs out this week. That's a positive. That's progress.
I wouldn't call it progress. I mean, Giants, dude, like, I was saying, like, they're two secondary pieces and two linemen away from winning. And I'm like, I don't even know if that's true anymore. Like, they went up against a practice squad and just got completely curb stomped. Like,
to be fair, Nick Mullins did have a very, very good game.
Yeah, because the Giants secondary stinks. James Bradbury and Blake Martinez have been money. I'll give him that.
Yeah, Bradbury had an amazing game.
Yeah, he was pretty good, but the Giants Achilles heel for the last a million zillion trillion years just, like, don't cover the tight end because the tight end can never it was like a fourth string tight end today for the 49ers. That was just
They had Jordan Reed in the first half and some other guy in the second half when Jordan Reed went down.
Yeah, just, ugh.
That was sad.
Dude, yeah, that was really bad. 36-9, they didn't score a single touchdown.
I mean,
looked good.
Daniel Jones had a few decent rushes on the day. I mean,
I kind of liked that he was running the ball a little bit. Like, yeah. I don't know. I really can't get upset at Jason Garrett. Like, the Giants don't have a single playmaker on their offense right now because Barkley's out. Like, Clayton's good, but, like, he's not great yet.
You didn't get to see anything of Devontae Freeman this week. I mean, he had, what, like, 15 yards or something like that?
Yeah, and he was on the field for, like, a third of the Giants snaps. So they're doing running back by committee, but I'd like to see him get some reps. I feel like that could be a good thing. Like, that could be – like, he could end up being a positive for the team, and I feel like he just – he could – I mean, the guy's got something to play for. He's probably pretty hungry for getting, like, back in the groove. Oh,
of course. But like, look, I mean, even looking at Saquon for these past 2 weeks, you can't replace Saquon in the first place. Saquon is the top two running back in the league. And he couldn't do anything with that O-line. So now you're expecting someone like Devontae Freeman, who, don't get me wrong, Devontae Freeman is a very good running back in the NFL. Yeah. But he's not going to put up the same numbers that he once did with the Falcons O-line. Especially now with this Giants team, not at all.
Now, speaking of the Falcons also stink.
Yeah, I'm...
Jeez, at least we're not Falcons fans. That would be brutal.
Yeah, because, you know, we're going – Giants and Jet fans are going into each game kind of expecting a loss. These Falcons – I saw a stat where no team has led up 2 fourth-quarter comebacks of 15 points or more in a season, and the Falcons just did it in back-to-back weeks.
I mean, good for Nick Foles, honestly.
Good for Nick Foles, yeah, good for him. But, I mean, let's stay on the topic of – New York football and just say that the Giants did not have a very good day and the Jets did not have a much better day.
Yeah. Well, let's stick to the Giants for a little bit here because I think we have a few more things to talk about here.
We do.
Dave Gettleman has been completely silent through this whole, just 3 years ago comes in saying like, I come in here and expect to kick ass. We've been the worst team in the league since he's joined the Giants. And, he has just been not held accountable at all.
That is true.
That was a disgusting performance. And like, I'm not going to get on Joe Judge's case just yet because it's 3 games and like, it's too early to tell and all that. Unlike you want to burn Gase at the stake, but I think that might be a little bit more valid, but
we'll get to that.
Yeah. Geez. Ugly, 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 ugly. So 36 points for the Niners practice squad. On offense, the Giants could not get much pressure to the quarterback. Because of that, the secondary suffered. The offense was just stale and couldn't get – I don't think the Giants got to, like, the 20-yard line of the 49ers all day. It was that bad. Like, they could not get anywhere near that. I don't think they had a single first and goal. Like, they didn't get to that, which is really bad. And I'm not going to get on Daniel Jones yet because – I think everyone's saying tank for Trevor is like, I feel like that might be a little bit like premature right now.
I don't think Daniel Jones is the problem.
I don't think he is either. The same way Sam Darnold isn't the problem. Like, I feel like if you stick Daniel Jones into like the Cowboys offense or
a decent offense.
Yeah. Just like, I'm trying to just think of teams that have a lot of weapons, or the Packers offense or just, I don't know. I feel like it's a different story. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is anywhere near the caliber of Aaron Rodgers or Wilson or Prescott or anyone like that, but even Seattle's offense with all those weapons, like, I feel like the Giants don't have a single playmaker right now, and that's not helping a young quarterback.
Daniel Jones does not have any weapons whatsoever, and you know what? He's still – this is his second year now, and probably his main source of – negativity on the Giants is his fumbling and his interception.
His turnovers. No, just he turns the ball over too much, and that's a problem.
If he develops much better, if he's able to limit those turnovers, limit those fumbles, limit those interceptions, he can be a top 10 quarterback in this NFL. And we've seen flashes of him, even in this game, of just being able to get around, get out of the pocket, scramble, make some nice deep passes. He's a good quarterback. He's just got to be able to, one, have an O-line, two, have weapons, and three, develop well. And I think Joe Judge is a good coach for the Giants. I think that he is going to help Jones in that sense if he's able to stay here for a few more years of just being able to develop him and make him a better quarterback. I do think in the Giants organization, Dave Gettleman is the main problem.
Uh-huh. And I don't want to be calling for Mara's head, but the way he acts like the same, the Giants are still a top-tier class organization, that just isn't true anymore. Because they've been bottom feeders for the better part of a decade now. And it's just ridiculous that a well-respected, constantly competing organization for almost 40 years, a team that's won 4 titles, is now relegated to this just complete basement status now for so long. Just mediocrity or worse is what it's been. And the Giants defense on third down continues to be brutal. Like, the third down conversion rate on defense is awful. Any drive that the Giants get going down the field either leads into a turnover or just a stalemate around 30 or 40 and leads to a field goal. It's just been just – I can't even think of words to describe it right now because I was just so unbelievably angry watching the game. Like, I was just really pissed off. You lose by 27 points at home. I get that there's no fans, but that's still really bad.
Yeah, that's never fun to deal with. I mean, this Giants team has potential. I think that they'll realize that by the end of the season. I mean, it sucks right now.
I still don't think the Giants are going to end up like 3-13 or 4-12. I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think that they're going to be like a top five pick this year. At least that's what I thought at the beginning of the season. Now I'm not so sure.
Look, right now, I think that the Giants have more potential than the Jets to end up with a better record. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs, but I could see them going 5-11, 6-10, maybe even 7-9 if they have a late push in the regular season. Obviously, they've got to stay healthy. The Saquon injury was
that's brutal. Well, and like I said last week, that's like comparative to like when Odell went down like 3-4 years ago with a broken ankle. It's just like it deflates the team because you lose your number one playmaker, exactly. And when you don't have depth, which the Giants do not have.
Yeah.
This is what happens. Like they falter, and it's a young quarterback. It's not like Daniel Jones. This is like some important years in his development, and he has no help right now, and it sucks. Like it sucks. A few other things I want to touch on before we move on to the Jets here. I wish the Giants would go over the top a little bit more on offense. Like I haven't been upset about Jason Garrett's play calls. I haven't been a huge fan of them either. But then again, when do you ever love what your offensive coordinator does? Like that's very rare. Like everyone always be disagreeing with that. But I would like to see the Giants go over the top a little more. The one problem is that they don't have any receivers that they could potentially go over the top to. Like it'd be like Slayton, who's Jones's favorite target. Like the Giants have like maybe off the eye test, maybe two plays that have gone for more than 20 yards this year, which is atrocious in three games.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see them go over the top more. I feel like that could only help them because what they're doing right now, these little rinky dink plays, they're just not working. And I feel like what they're doing is they're creeping the offense in like today's a perfect example. The 49ers, D-backs, they creep in, man. They like they play aggressive. They're right up against the receivers, and the Giants didn't go over the top once, which was weird. Another thing that got me really angry, the 49ers had possession of the ball for 2/3 of the game. That's just unacceptable.
I saw that stat. Because
when the Giants are going with these short passes, long drives, yada, 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 they should – by that metric have possession of the ball longer, but no, they had 20 minutes and 16 seconds to be exact of possession time. And when you only have 9 points, that's just not acceptable. Like get the defense off the field, man, because I feel like it almost seemed like they kind of just gave in at the end because like, what are you going to do? Like that your offense isn't helping you out for anything. Like one play in particular that really pissed me off was in a 6-6 game. It was 6-6 at the time, and it was 3rd and 18 or 19 or something. I think you might know the play I'm talking about.
I do.
And I forget who it was. It was like a 3rd or 4th string defensive back for the Giants. I forgot what the penalty was too.
I can't tell you. I just know that it was very funny to watch after the 3rd and 31 that the Jets gave up last week.
Dude, it's just like typical same old. Like, yeah, just the stuff that Darnay Holmes made just a completely boneheaded play on a 3rd and extremely long play that the Giants got to stop on. If they get the ball back there 6-6 towards the end of the second quarter, you never know what happens. I mean, the Giants ended up losing by 27, so I don't know if they get the win, but that changes the course of the game, you know, the butterfly effect. So – that really sucked. That play was kind of the beginning of the end, and then the 49ers just kept marching, man. And Nick Mullins, shout out to him. Like, great day again. I mean, two mediocre teams that you just tore up, but still. Yeah, just completely ugly, ugly, ugly game. Giants dropped to 0-3. They got the Rams in L.A. next week, so that's a loss. Yeah, it's looking ugly. So before we go on to the Jets, is there anything you want to say before?
Well, you know, as a bit of a segue, I am going to say that I have more faith in this Giants team in the next few years than I do the Jets team as of right now. And today, with the Mets season ending, the Wilpons are officially no longer the majority owner of the Mets for any more seasons, which means that they are now handing off the worst ownership award in New York sports from Wilpons to Woody and Chris Johnson.
No, that's wrong. We both, you know, that's wrong. You know who it is.
I'm not saying anything, but you know,
we both know who it is. It's not him.
Well, okay. That's up for debate, but let's go into this Jets loss. I say that before every single game seeing the Jets now, but let's go into this Jets loss. Let's kind of analyze it. So they start off the game, Sam Darnold pick six. That was just a terrible play.
That's the story, man. That's just the storyline.
I don't know. See, I went into this game kind of hoping that the Jets got blown out just because I hope that Adam Gase gets fired by the end of this week. And you know what? Maybe that'll happen now that...
No, I did see some Twitter rumblings, and people are indeed calling for his head, man.
Of course. I mean, look, before the game, I saw a report that executives inside the Jets organization were kind of monitoring the situation with him and that he is on the hot seat. So, you know, I went into this game like, okay, I obviously want to get a win, but if we get blown out, it may be positive for us in a way. So we play Thursday, so I don't know if it's going to happen this week, but if he is out by Saturday, I will... I don't know what I'll do, but I will be extremely happy because I haven't met a single Jet fan that likes Adam Gase.
Your disdain for Adam Gase has been made extremely adamant over the course of the last few weeks.
In his career as a head coach, Adam Gase has the same number of double-digit losses as he does wins in general, which is...
Well, that right there should tell the story.
Like, which I believe is 30. If I'm not wrong.
Is this his second or third season?
This is his second season as the Jets coach.
Okay, so this is a normal time because I remember this is around the time I started calling for Shermer's head last year. So.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Adam Gase and Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator, were only kept this year pretty much because of consistency, and they didn't want to make Sam Darnold go through a third coach in 3 years. And you know what? Obviously, that has something to do with the fact that Gase went 5-2, 5-3 towards the end of the year last year, but that's just because we had an easy schedule. It was – pretty much just luck, but whatever. So going into this game today, I didn't have much hope. So first drive, pick six, whatever. In the next drive, the Jets drive down the field, and Sam Darnold makes like 4 or 5 plays that make him look like he's Patrick Mahomes. Like genuinely had an amazing drive, and I'm like, okay.
And that touchdown at the end there was beautiful play by Sam Darnold. The way he stayed on his feet, navigated the pocket, got out, throw on the run, straight money, 25 yards into the end zone. That is what Jets fans need to look at and see that Sam is not the problem. Because everyone saying that Sam Darnold is the problem is an idiot and a loser. Because, like, it's just clear that the plays are there. He's not playing well, but, like, a lot of his play calls have been atrocious. But I'll let you elaborate on that.
Look, I can't say that Sam Darnold isn't the problem. I think that it would be a lot easier if he had many more weapons and a better O-line in front of him. And I think that pretty much everything around him is terrible, obviously. But look, the fact that I'm not as high on Sam Darnold as I used to be, that's pretty much what I'm trying to get with.
That's fair, but to call him the problem would just be incorrect.
No, he's not the main problem.
Maybe the fourth or fifth problem on the list.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that. But so Sam Darnold makes that amazing play, whatever. And I believe that was the only touchdown they scored that entire game.
It was. At least you scored one.
They drove down again later. I don't know. The Colts scored again, and then they continued to drive. And then there was a pick in the end zone. Xavier Rhodes had another one. There was a second pick six. The Colts defense scored 16 points, pretty much. They scored 2 touchdowns and a safety. So anyone that started the Colts defense in fantasy, you got very lucky. But – everything about this Jets loss was terrible. Darnold had 3 interceptions, only threw 168 yards. Again, not anything. I mean, this week and the past 2 weeks have been absolutely terrible in terms of stats-wise for Darnold. Frank Gore was actually not terrible. I mean, what can you say about Frank Gore? He had 15 rushes for 57 yards. That's less than 4 yards a carry, which isn't terrible for a 37-year-old, 38-year-old. But the only bright spot that I think I could say from this week was honestly Braxton Berrios. And it's so sad to say that Braxton Berrios had a decent game. He had 4 catches, 64 yards, a touchdown. He's okay. I mean, I want him as my wide receiver 4 or 5, not my wide receiver 1. And then undrafted free agent.
Crowder's still injured, right?
Yes, Crowder and Perriman.
He didn't play this week. Okay.
Lawrence Cager, who's an undrafted free agent, made his debut today coming off the practice squad. He had 2 catches. He almost had that touchdown before it got picked, but he was okay. I mean, seeing that made me somewhat happy in our draft class this year, just because I think that our draft class, if they could stay healthy, will be very good this year. I like Joe Douglas. I said that at the beginning of the season. Our defense was not very good at all. I don't think we had a single sack on the day. I don't think
yikes, that's
anything right.
That's not what you want. You want to get pressure in on the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
And like Hogan, no catches. Griffin dropped the pass. Herndon only had 3 catches for 21 yards. It's sad. It's sad to see this because I had so much faith going into this Jets team and like this season. And obviously, I didn't expect this team to be a playoff team, but I did not think that we would be this bad.
We're like sheep to the slaughter every year because they get new players who are equally as crappy. But since they're new, we're like, oh, new toys. Oh, they're still broken. It's like, why should we believe that a regime that's failed multiple times will succeed a different time? Exactly. I don't understand that for the life of me. And that's what the Giants are doing right now with Gettleman. That's what the Jets are doing right now with Gase. It's just ridiculous. Make a change at the top. It's just so blatantly obvious. And it sucks that we have to call for this every couple of years, every year, yada, yada, yada. But it's just necessary to just, like, I don't know why they think, like, calling in the same type of people is going to be like lightning in a bottle. It's just very weird. It's just, it's a stubborn way of managing a football team. It's hard to put together a good football team. But the way they're doing it and going about it is just so old and dumb and repetitive.
Adam Gase is the worst head coach that this Jets organization has probably seen in an entire history of being in the NFL.
You got to get Rex Ryan back.
Honestly, I saw this thing on Twitter where it's this guy holding up a picture of Rex Ryan and just like looking at it and longing for him to be back. You know what? I would do anything.
Oh, I love that meme. That meme's funny.
Okay, well, look, just going through the Jets schedule, they play Thursday at home. Denver is injury ridden. They lost Von Miller. They don't have Drew Lock. Cortland Sutton's out. The Jets are still going to get blown out. And I hope by that Saturday, but that Sunday, Gase is gone. But you know what? If he's not, okay, we're still going to lose no matter what. I could see Greg Williams coming in as interim head coach if that happens, but I don't know if it will. I think that this organization has too much faith in such a terrible head coach. After the Broncos, they are home again, play Arizona. Arizona's going to beat them. They go to L.A., play the Chargers. The Chargers are probably going to beat them, whether that's Tyrod or Herbert at the helm. Home, I'm just going to go up until their bye week. Jets play the Bills, going to get destroyed. They go into Kansas City, going to get destroyed. They're going to be at home against the Patriots, going to get destroyed. And then right before the bye week, they head to Miami. And you know what? Maybe we could come out of there with 1 win out of, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. I think by then we'll be 1-10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I'm not looking forward to the rest of the season. I'm not about to say tank for Trevor, but I do think
I think there's going to be a time where one of the two of us or both of us will have to start saying tank for Trevor.
Oh, of course. I completely agree with that. I didn't think it's
one or both of us is going to get to that time, and it is going to be
right now. I don't think it's worthy to do that as of week 3, but maybe
it's not time yet, but believe us, it is coming. Okay. It is coming. And be ready. There will be an episode in the next couple months called Tank for Trevor. Which sucks, but whatever. What else? I mean, like,
look, yeah. I can't say anything else about the Jets. I think that right now.
Well, do you want to talk about the Mets instead?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, the Jets are in the worst position that they've been.
That was a jerk thing to say. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, the Jets are in the worst position they've been in the past probably decade. Just because, you know what, going after the two AFC championship losses, they weren't in a good spot because they were in a win-now mode with Sanchez and all that and Rex Ryan and didn't have that. Draft Geno. Geno, you know what? We had promise. That's what we had. And we didn't have terrible years. We didn't have the premise
of – mediocre is the word I would use. 14, like, yeah.
13. And then after that, we had Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown, who actually showed
– There was one Ryan Fitzpatrick year for the Jets that was really awesome.
We almost made the playoffs.
Yeah, almost. And then they lost to the Bills and the Steelers. I remember, yeah.
If there was the same format that it is this year with the three wildcard teams, the Jets would be a playoff team in 2016 or whatever it was.
Dude, I keep forgetting that there's three wildcard teams. I keep forgetting. I guess I'll remember like later on, but yeah, I keep forgetting.
It might matter for Buffalo, but not for New York. So I think that the Jets right now are in the worst position that they could be. I have lost complete hope in the season, and I'm hoping that next season we can maybe have new faces in the organization and bit more hope than I do right now, but that'll be an episode for next year. But you know what? Yeah, like you said, let's switch from football to my other.
We do have a little bit of baseball to talk about, a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll have
Mets season eulogy. Mets season eulogy.
Yeah. So the Mets were eliminated from the playoffs officially. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. After the loss to the Nationals. Yep.
I couldn't say that I didn't expect it. I said,
I think we both expected it after last week's. I mean,
you go.
You go first. Okay. You're the man.
So I think that we both expected this to happen. I projected the Mets to go 6-4, and in their last 10 games, I believe that they just fell short of that anyway.
You know what? That they went 3-7.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Not short.
Ironically. And I 6-4, I think, would have been enough.
Genuinely, exactly.
Like the other teams around them, like Milwaukee, San Francisco, Philly, they were all losing games. The Mets had to play a little bit above 500 baseball, and they couldn't, and that's why they didn't get it done. Exactly. This is completely on the Mets because the other teams were losing. If the Mets even won the last three against Washington, that crazy scenario that we were talking about that I was seeing all over Twitter Friday night, it happened, but the Mets got swept.
It's typical Mets way to end.
Brutal.
But like I said before, I'm
– can't be surprised, though. Like,
yeah, no, not at all. But I'm very happy that this is going to be the final game that the Wilpons are majority owners of the Mets. We got
– You've
got
to be happy with that, yeah.
This is a new era of Mets baseball. And I'm extremely excited to say that just because, you know what, that gives me a little more hope for the future. I think that the Mets are a talented team. I think that they could be in the playoffs by 2 years from now. I just think that
– I think that if they keep the 8-team playoff around, they could be in it again next year.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm very so-so. I'm very 50-50 on the 8-team playoff rule. It helped out the Yankees this year. Thank God. That would have been a disaster. But – like, if they keep that around, the Mets – there's no reason the Mets can't compete next year. If you get Syndergaard healthy, DeGrom back – or DeGrom, of course, is just Jacob DeGrom. Like, he's the best pitcher in the world. More starting pitching is going to be important. David Peterson had a good year. I don't think Porcello will be back. I don't think Stroman will be back, but you never know. I don't know what the story is with Michael Wacha. I don't know what the story is with Steven Matz, because Steven Matz also had a terrible year. But, if Steve Cohen wants to go out and get, I don't know, a JT Realmuto, Francisco Lindor.
Look, I can't.
And a Trevor Bauer even. Like, the Mets, like, when they're healthy, that's – I don't know. They had a bad year, and – They picked a bad 60-game stretch.
There's a lot of question marks going into the offseason right now. Obviously, new ownership means something else. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to go out and make crazy bids for good free agents and stuff like that.
They could, though, and a lot of Mets fans think they will. I will say I think those Mets fans might be a little bit delusional because having a rich owner doesn't automatically mean you get every free agent.
Exactly.
But,
I'm prepared for a fun offseason, whether that means that I get disappointed or not. It's probably going to end up happening, but I'm just going to say that I'm excited for it. I think that it's going to be something new. I think there's going to be shifts in the organization, whether that be ownership. I mean, obviously ownership, but management, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I think the Mets will make a splash of some kind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a good splash or a bad splash, but there's going to be a splash.
Oh,
but,
like the Mets are never quiet in the offseason, ever. Like whether it be the Cano Diaz trade or trading for mediocre pitchers like Waka and Porcello or whatever the hell it is, the Mets are never quiet. The only difference is now they're just not they're competent up in the higher rankings of the team. I fully expect Brody Van Wagenen to be gone as the Mets GM next year.
Me as well.
Sandy Alderson's gonna be back as the team president, but I don't think he'll be the GM.
No.
We'll see what the Mets do with the GM. What would your thought be on if they went after a Dombrowski, a guy who will completely did what he did with Florida, what he did with Chicago, what he did, Detroit, and what he did with Boston, where you just strip down a complete farm system, build a winner for maybe 2 or 3 years, but then you're screwed. What would you think if they did that?
Because like you said, you have that kind of hope for those 2-3 years, and then you're screwed right after that because it's a win now sort of situation.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. I don't think I would be a fan of that. Just because, like, as much as I want to say, yeah.
I think a lot of Mets fans would, but I.
Yeah, but I'm trying to be a little more logical. Like,
you want to build for sustainable success in baseball.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that it's more important that – I think that the Mets have a good team. I think that it's important that we improve upon that by signing new people and making good trades, that kind of thing. But I feel like it's not important to, like, kind of do a full trip down and go into win-now mode with – every single star possible and then screw up for the future.
Yeah. Right off the bat here, so since the Mets missed the playoffs by 3 games, I'm just going to think of a few games off the top of my head. I'm sure you'll remember them that
of course
really were just brutal, gut-wrenching, perhaps the reason they missed the playoffs. Second game of the year, Diaz blows the save down to their last strike.
Yeah, that's
five-run lead in Atlanta, the five-run lead in the Bronx against the Yankees. The Wilson Ramos missed tag game in Philly back in August. That's another one that comes to mind. The blown 10-inning lead against the Phillies, in the beginning of the month. Just the Mets they put together 1 3-game winning streak all season long. And that's why they didn't make the playoffs.
Exactly.
If the Mets could they missed by 3 games. It almost seemed like the mentality wasn't all there. I don't know what the story is going to be with Rojas returning. We'll see. Not a great first you'd like to make an 18 playoff. I saw a lot of press conferences for the Mets after the season. It seemed like Alonso was pretty pissed off. It seemed like DeGrom was pretty pissed off. Nimmo, so on and so forth. Just a disappointing season. Like you gotta find a way to sneak in when there's 8 teams, and they didn't do that. And luckily, we know for a fact change is coming, so that's a bonus for Mets fans. But yeah, that sucks, man. It really sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'm excited for the new era of Mets baseball. There's only so much I could say about this season.
They're turning a page.
Exactly. There's only so much I could say about this season, but I am happy that it ended off with a healthy DeGrom, a solid sort of – not a solid ending because obviously we didn't make the playoffs, but right now we have a good sort of foundation for the future, at least where it's not in complete question marks. And
you'd like to think there's a core there right now.
Exactly. So from that, I am excited. I'm hopeful, which isn't something I could say too often about my New York sports teams. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I mean – we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks going to the Mets in the offseason. They'll have a long five, six months to think about it before spring training in February. And then before we close it out, let's touch on the Yankees real quick. We will have a full Yankees wild card series preview tomorrow with our boy Austin Platt, huge Yankees fan, fellow Bruce Beck, sports broadcasting camp alumni. So he'll be on tomorrow. We'll do a full Yankees-Indians preview.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk the Yankees final week. Just a trendy, trendy team. They went 2-5 in their last week, which sucks. But
we'll see how that goes.
Got bailed out by the Orioles today. 5 seed. don't have to play Tampa round one, which could be huge. But now we're going to have that Bieber Cole matchup round one. But we're not going to talk about that series until tomorrow. Lost 3 out of 4 to Buffalo, which made it really terrifying. And then they lost 2 out of 3 to Miami, which was even scarier. The offense was inconsistent as usual. But, you know, a lot of the guys in the Yankees, this is their fourth year with this core heading into the playoffs. This is the first time they really don't have any expectations, and I really am not hopeful at all about a big run. So I think that can only maybe that bodes well. I don't know. I mean, like, last year I was so uber confident, and obviously it ended in a heartbreaking fashion. So, yeah, Yankees 5 seed. They have the Indians. We'll talk about that Tuesday, 7 Eastern. But, yeah, do we have anything else to really talk about?
I don't think so. I think we're going to wrap this one up for today. Thank you all for listening. My socials first, I am Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. You could also follow the Big Apple Sports Media pages, Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. What about you, Keats?
Okay. So as always, Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is a 1. It's Kai 1 E Keegan, as I say every week. So yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. This episode's going to be up Monday morning. I'd assume our wild card series episode will be up probably Tuesday morning.
Exactly.
So back-to-back days with episodes. But tomorrow's an all-Yankees one. So buckle up for you crazy New York sports people. Yankees playoffs.
Crazy.
It's that time of the year, which is exciting. But hopefully it lasts longer than 2 days. That's all I'm going to say about the best of three. So
for the rest of us, for the non-Yankee fans, as usual, all we know is pain. Seems like that's a very recurring topic in most of our episodes, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the Yankee season. Maybe there could be one New York sports team that plays well enough to make it far. But for now, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.